breakfast table. I hope you have a nice breakfast. If you're in the lounge room, I hope you have a nice lounge. But I hope you open your heart and hear what the Lord is saying to us. Don't forget, after this morning's message, we're going to have our virtual fellowship. We're doing it on Zoom. We'll put the details up a little bit later. And we would love you to come and join us. Even if you don't usually attend this church, we love ring-ins. Come and crash the party. Come and join us on Zoom. And we're going to share communion together there so you can get your communion elements together. You can share it at home wherever you are. I've started a series on resetting your life because it seems to me that this COVID thing has caused many of us to stop and take stock of our lives and to hit the reset button, to start to see things differently and to maybe get back to basics. You know, we get so cluttered in our world. There's so many voices coming at us all the time. It's great sometimes to just take stock and get back to basics. And we've started a series on that. And we mentioned just at the start of the series, there's two sorts of resets that you can get. There's a hard reset and a soft reset. The hard reset's the one you don't want. That goes back to factory default. It's painful. It's devastating. And sometimes you're hit with really bad, difficult stuff in your life, and it causes you to reset, but it's very painful. The soft reset is it doesn't go back to factory fault. You keep all your information, you keep all the stuff the way you just reset it, and you're able to start again, and that's the one we want. So this COVID-19 time, it's a chance for us to really take stock of life and to reset our lives a little bit, because we don't want the hard reset. We'd rather have a soft reset and do it in a little more, you know, comfort and style, I guess. But a soft reset involves us making decisions. And we looked last week at faith and holiness, at two things that you can reset in your life. And this week, this is a scary one. I want to look at priorities, because I think we've got a tremendous opportunity right now to reset our priorities, to get things right, so that through the life and into eternity, our priorities can be set correctly. Now, the thing is, actions reflect priorities. You can say what you like about priorities, but actions is what's going to count. I heard a story about a guy who went to the football grand final, and he noticed an old man there with an empty seat beside him. He remarked to him, "But it's unusual to see an empty seat at the grand final." He said, "Yes, that was my wife's seat. We used to go to the grand final every year together, and that was her seat." And the man said, "Well, why isn't she here?" He said, "Well, sadly, she died, you know, a little while ago." And the guy said, "I'm sorry to hear that," but he said, "You know, this is the grand final. Couldn't you find a friend or a relative that wanted to jump in and get that reserved seat to watch the grand final?" He said, "I could, but it beats me. They all insisted on going to her funeral." You know, so that's what it's like. You know, his priority was the football. It wasn't the death of his wife. And one of the key things for me in this pandemic is resetting our priorities so they actually make sense. And, you know, our priorities will be exposed by our actions. So actions expose our priorities, and our priorities expose what our values are. We might say something is important, but our priorities will indicate whether they truly are important to us. Ephesians 5, verses 15 to 16 says this: "Look carefully then at how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time, because the days are evil." See, truly we have seen that the days are evil right now. We're seeing this incredible pandemic come through. And we're not sailing along blissfully, you know, ignorant, contented, brain numbed, just doing life, just floating along in life. All of a sudden we have to reset in our lives what we think is important, what we think is valuable, what we think is worthwhile. And we've got that tremendous opportunity right now to reset. So, first question: what was our priorities like before we hit this pandemic? Well, just a few months ago, you were probably like me. Your priorities were food, money, and sleep, and rinse and repeat every day. And that's what most people were like. Even as Christians, we claim to serve Jesus. We say Jesus is number one in our life. But how much time did you actually invest in him versus what you invested in living, in working, in getting friends, in getting things, in getting money, in getting ahead in life? We put all our time and effort into that, but we say Jesus is number one. We were comfortable back then. We were complaining and confused. We were complaining about the most minor things, but we didn't really see what was important in life because our priorities had become so influenced. But then along came the coronavirus. And everything was turned on its head. And suddenly all of the things we used to know don't apply anymore. Many of us lost jobs, lost income, lost business. And all of us lost freedom. Now, in our country here, if you're watching overseas, you wouldn't know this, but here in Australia, they relaxed a few freedoms yesterday. You're able to go out and to have a picnic with two other people. But a few months ago, you could have a picnic with 200 people. No one cared. So our priorities have just changed. You know, before, you'd meet people, you'd give them a hug. You can't touch them now. Don't touch them. You can't stand any closer than 1.5 metres. That's what the law now says. And so you've got people. I mean, I was in a store the other day talking to someone who was 1.4 metres apart, and someone came and butted in and said, you guys need to move further apart. I went like, what? So at 1.4 metres, you get infected, but at 1.5 metres, you don't. I mean, I'm not going to grab tape measures and measure every time I meet someone, you know? But that's the world in which we now live. The freedoms we had before are now no longer current. You can't touch. You can't hug. You can't stand any closer than 1.5 metres. And toilet paper has suddenly become a serious commodity. I mean, it's a valuable source, toilet paper. You know, our priorities, which reflect our values and what's really important to us, have changed from what they were just a few months ago. But I believe this is an incredible opportunity for us to reset. We can reset our priorities. Now, Jesus spoke about this in Luke chapter 12. Listen to what he said, Luke chapter 12, verse 15. It's a great teaching from the Lord himself. He said this, take care and be on guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And he told them this parable, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store all my crops. Life is just so good. Everything is just so awesome, he said. And so he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and I will build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. How many times has you used the word my in all of that? And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink and be merry. And so this guy's having a great time. This is us a couple of months ago. Life's just sailing on. Everything's rosy. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. And the things you have prepared, though, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. That's what the Lord said. So that's what our priorities were. But what? Let's look at what our priorities could be if we give them a chance. Priorities reflect values, as I've said, and we have before us a golden opportunity to reset our values and to reset what is truly important in life. And some of the things that people think are important are just not important. I was in a store this week, and they had all the COVID things in place, and I leant on a countertop, and the sales clerk nearly had kittens that I'd actually touched the countertop. And then the climate of fear is alive and well out there. This is where people's values are at the moment. And then I had to pay a sum of money, and I could do that, you know, like touchless. But then I had to put my PIN number in. She wouldn't let me put my PIN number in because I'd be touching the keys and I could infect the keys. So she demanded of me that I tell her my PIN number to put it in the thing. This is where people's heads are at. Our priorities, however, they reflect something greater. We can reflect something greater. In this climate of fear, we can have priorities that dispense with all of that junk and reflect something greater. Let me give you a perspective on the fear that people are still feeling out there. Don't tell me they're not. Everywhere you go, there are people like distancing. And if you walk up and look at something on a shelf, the next guy moves further down so that he can be far enough away from you. This is where people are at. But Psalm 91 verses 9 to 11 speaks into this. Listen to what this said. This is his promise for us. This is God's promise. Listen to this. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague shall come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you and guard all of your ways. So am I living under fear right now? No, I don't need to, because I've got angels around me. I just need to be smart and I need to be safe, but I don't need to live under fear. We can have values and confidence that others don't. You see, for years, our priorities have been pushed and pulled and squeezed into the mold of the world. What the world dictates to us is important. That's what's really important. But today, I believe we as the people of God have a fantastic opportunity to reset all that and get back to what is truly important. So let me ask you, what forms your priorities? Where do you get your priorities from? Well, every person has their own values and priorities. Our values set our priorities. It determines where you spend your effort and your time. We pick up our values basically from everything that we've been exposed to, that we're constantly exposed to. So your childhood experiences, they start to form your values. Your education, your friends, your family upbringing, your neighborhood, your workplace, the environment, TV, media, all of that stuff influences your values. And at the end of the day, it is we who choose our values and decide on the source of our values. Job 34 verse 4 says this, "Let us choose what is right. Let us know among ourselves what is good." So every one of us has different values and priorities. And the interesting thing is our values also depend on what stage we are in life. So when you're 15, you do not have the same values, you do not have the same priorities that you do when you're 40. And when you're 40, you do not have the same priorities that you do when you're 70. Your priorities change according to your age. So we have to sift through all of this and decide what's going to be number one and number two in our list of priorities. And how are you going to decide what's really important and what is not? Well, the key here, the key thing on deciding what's really important is how long something is going to last. Let me make it simple. The longer it lasts, generally, the more important it is. So if your priority is going to last for eternity, I would say that's a pretty important priority. If your priority is going to last 60 years, that's fairly important, I think you'd agree. If your priority is going to last 2 minutes, that's not that important. If your priority is only going to last for a day or two, it's not as important. We need to decide to prioritize the things that are going to last forever over the things that are going to last for just a short time. So let's look at what the world thinks of its priorities. See, the world is trying to influence your priorities to squeeze you into its mold. And that essentially is the world's priority right there. That's what we're told. It's all about us. Romans 12 verse 2 says this, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and discern the will of God, what's good, acceptable, and perfect." So there are some things that the world would tell you should prioritize. This is what the world is saying to everybody right now. If you get on Facebook, what you'll find is a lot of that stuff. It's all about me, my opinions, what I think, what entertains me, what gives me pleasure, what promotes me. That's what the world's values are. That's what the world's priorities, what they tell you your priorities should be. So the first one I want to highlight that the world tells you is pleasure. The world tells you that your pleasure, doing what you want, is our divine right. It is our divine right to have a happy life. The whole entertainment industry is built on this one thing, giving you pleasure. Advertising is built on this thing, stimulating and satisfying your pleasures. People often say to me, "I believe God wants me to have a happy life." Well, I can't really find a verse to support that. But, you know, I don't think God's happiness is as high a priority as we think our happiness is. But people often say to me, "God wants me to be happy. Therefore, I know I'm sinning. But if I sin and it makes me happy, God must be okay with it." That's not true. You know, people say, if sin makes me happy, if sex or alcohol or booze or video games or anything else makes me happy, then God must be okay with it. That is simply not true. Last week we saw how God's priority is really holiness over your happiness. It really is. He doesn't care. He wants you to be holy. And here's the thing, when you choose to be holy, you become incredibly happy. You know, it sort of works in your favor. But God is not okay with you doing whatever you want just so you are happy. He's not okay with that. In fact, he's so not okay with that, he sent his son to die in your place to redeem you, to buy you back from the consequences of you putting yourself first and making you happy. Moses was described like this in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Verse 24 and 25 says this. So by faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Now look, I'm not so naive as to think that sin isn't pleasurable. If sin wasn't pleasurable, you wouldn't do it. Sin is pleasurable. No one would do it if it wasn't. But we must not prioritize our pleasure over standing for what is right, to prioritize sin over holiness. You see, it might be pleasurable at the time, but there are consequences for everything you say and do. Everything you say and do carries a consequence. Galatians 6, verse 7 to 8 says this, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." There are consequences to everything you do. Everything. Solomon put it this way. Now, Solomon was a guy who was the wisest man in the world, which is astonishing, given that he had 600 wives and 300 concubines or something like that. I don't think that's very wise. Think about all the mother-in-laws. That's terrible. But anyway, that was the decision he made. But wisest man in the world, but he wrote this. He was very despondent. He wrote a book called Ecclesiastes, which is really quite a depressing book because he's pouring out his observation of life. Wisest man in the world, this is what he wrote in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 10 to 11. This is really interesting. He said this about himself. He said this, "Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I kept my heart from no pleasure, for my heart found pleasure in all my toil, and this was the reward for all my toil. Then I considered all that my hands had done and all the toil I had expended in doing it, and behold, it was vanity, a striving after wind, and there was nothing to be gained under the sun." He looked at his pleasure. He looked at the great things that he had enjoyed. He looked at the blessings he had. He looked at his work and the satisfaction. He looked at all of it, and his conclusion was, it's all vanity. It's all nothing. It's just smoke and mirrors. There's nothing really there. The world says, put your pleasures first. Whatever pleases you, put that first. But I guarantee you, you'll find a big hole in your heart if you do that, because it will never satisfy you. The second thing the world says to prioritize is possessions. Getting stuff. You think about it in our society. We have to have the latest stuff. We have to have the latest watch, the latest this, the latest car, the latest gizmo in the house. We have to have the latest internet, whatever it is they're handing out. I love this. There's this website that comes from China, and it's called geek.com, and I love it because I can buy lots of stuff for not very much money, and none of it's important. I bought this beautiful big blanket. And it looks like a pizza. It actually has a pizza printed on it. And I thought that was really cool. And my wife thought it was the most disgusting thing she'd ever seen. And it was so cool, I'm not even allowed to bring it into the house. She said, "That is going nowhere near my house." Because it's a big pizza rug. I thought it was cool. She thought it was dumb. So we are like that, though. We want to get out there and get the latest stuff. Get all the coolest stuff. We don't repair things anymore. We toss them. It's true, isn't it? We throw everything away. We want to get the new model because the new model is better than the one that just broke. So we don't repair it. We toss it and we get the new model all the time. Those darn socks. Who's darned a sock in the last week or two? None of us. Because no one darns socks. Those darn socks ain't getting darned no more. 1 Timothy 6 verses 7 to 10 says this. This is Paul talking to Timothy about riches and about possessions. He says this. "We brought nothing into the world. We can take nothing out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil." Money isn't evil. People say money is the root of all evil. That's misquoting it. The love of money is the root of all evil. Money's neutral. But if you love it, if you love those possessions and love that money, that can be the root of all evil in your life. Pursuing money and possessions might seem important in this life, but ultimately you're on a never-ending treadmill. You're just like that little mouse in there running like crazy. And the problem with the rat race is even if you win, you're still a rat. you know, you don't really win. Ecclesiastes 5 verse 10, we're back to Solomon here. He says this, he who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This also is vanity. The whole thing is smoke and mirrors, folks. The world says, go out there and get what you deserve. Get all that good stuff. It's rubbish in the long run. Two boys watching a funeral procession one day. And they're watching the funeral procession go down the road. One boy says to the other, whose funeral is it? And the first boy says, well, that's the local millionaire. Really, says the first boy. How much did he leave behind? And the other boy said, everything. The whole lot. He left the whole lot behind because you can't take it with you. You can be the richest man in the world. You can't. Shrouds don't have pockets, folks. You can spend your whole life chasing possessions, which is what the world tells you to do, and at the end of it, have nothing because you can't take it with you. You can't even take your iPhone into eternity. There's one for the Apple guys. The third thing that the world tells you to get is power and prestige. You see, we all want influence. We all want to be popular. We want people to love us. But again, this is a fleeting, vain pursuit. The world says prioritize being popular. This, according to, I think it was Forbes, is the five most influential, powerful people in the world. You'll recognize a few of them up there. This is what they said, the five most powerful people in the world. I don't know. I think if you look closely, they're all flesh and blood. Even this guy here is flesh and blood. They may not think they're flesh and blood. They may think they're way beyond that, but they're not. They're just flesh and blood. They're just people. Jesus tells a parable in Luke chapter 16 of the rich man and Lazarus. And it shows us that whole parable. I won't read it out now, but it shows us that at the end of this rich man's successful, prosperous, popular life, he's in hell. And this poor, despised beggar is in heaven. And it shows you that, you know, wealth, power, influence mean nothing in eternity. The most powerful man on earth could die and go to hell. It means nothing in the long run. Mark 10:31, Jesus says this, many who are first will be last and the last will be first. So you can pursue and prioritize being popular, gaining influence and power and all that sort of stuff here on earth. You can be the most popular, powerful person in your town or your city or your football club or anything else. And at the end of the day, when you die, it is worth nothing. Zip. Utterly worthless in God's economy. So let me talk to you as we begin to wrap it up here about how you can reset your priorities. I said this moment in time with the COVID virus and that sort of stuff, this is a great opportunity for us to reset what we're doing. We don't just want to keep on going the way we used to. We want to reset what we're doing and do it better. It's a soft reset. And remember, you know, you don't want the hard reset. You want the soft reset, the one with minimal pain. But to take that soft reset, you have to make some decisions. It's a great time right now to reset our priorities and our perspective. Let me give you a little history lesson here about perspective. Charles Francis Adams was the son of President John Quincy Adams of the United States and the grandson of President John Adams. So this is the Adams family, so it's a bit creepy. But he kept a diary, Charles Francis Adams, and he wrote this one day in his diary. He said, went fishing with my son today, a day wasted. Well, his son, Brooke Adams, also kept a diary, which is still in existence to today. And on that same day, his son, in his diary, made this entry, went fishing with my father, the most wonderful day of my life. See, the father thought he was wasting time spending time with his son, but his son thought it was the greatest investment of time he could possibly have. Same event, two different perspectives. The only way to tell the difference between wasting and investing time is to know your ultimate purpose in life and to prioritize accordingly. So I want to give you some steps as to how you can reset your priorities in this moment. I want you to have a listen to these because we're going to do it together. I believe we have a tremendous opportunity as church family. Even if you're tuning in, you don't go to our church, that's fine. Join us and reset your priorities because if we do this right, it will be in place for the rest of our lives and on into eternity. But if we mess it up, we'll just go back to what was, and what was is never going to work. Let's seize this moment right now. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us, that we would set our priorities correctly, that we would choose what is right and that we would carry these priorities into eternity. I pray in Jesus' name. You know, the first thing is to choose the source of your values. Destiny is not something that happens to you randomly. People say, oh, it was destiny that this happened. No, it wasn't. You know what destiny is? Destiny is a series of choices that you make. That's what destiny is. It's not something that randomly happens to you, that comes against you. It is the series of choices that you make. If you make bad choices, you mess up your destiny. If you make wise choices, God can roll out an incredible future and destiny for you beyond your wildest dreams, but you have to make the right choice. You can't make a series of bad choices, then blame God that your life isn't what it should be, because you're making the choice. So this is our moment. The first step is to decide to see the world from God's perspective, not man's perspective, and to make his word the source of your values and the basis of your priorities. People say, well, how do I know what is right and wrong? It's written in his word. If you live according to the word of God, you know what is right and wrong. You understand what a good and a bad decision is because you have his word in your heart. If you ignore God, sure, you just become prey to whatever the world throws at you. And it changes every five. The moral landscape out there changes every 5 minutes. How do you know what to believe if you've got nothing firm in the middle of your life like the word of God? So the first thing is to decide you're going to see things from God's perspective and use God as the source of your values, not man. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 18 says this. We look to the things that are seen. We look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. So if you want to have priorities that last for eternity, you have to see things from eternity's perspective. You cannot just see things from a temporal perspective and get an eternal result. So decide first and foremost to choose life and to choose God's way and to choose God's perspective and God's priorities. Can you do that? Let's do it together. Why don't you join me in prayer wherever you are? Lord, I pray that you would give us eyes to see as you see. Father, I pray that we will choose your perspective. Lord, let your perspective and your priorities be known to us, and we will be obedient in Jesus' name. Amen. So the second thing is to turn away from the world's values. And I think we cloud this one up a lot. I think we just muddy the water on this an awful lot. But listen to what 1 John 2 says about the world and its values. Verse 15, it says this. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Let me say that again. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life is not from the Father, but it's from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. You see that, again, the same thing. He talks about loving the world, and the world is passing away. It is temporal. It is not eternal. It is going to go. But eternal perspective, God's perspective, will last forever. The world is trying to constantly conform you to its image. That's what it wants from you. That's what it thinks you should have is what it tells you you should have. And foolishly, most of us just say, okay, then I'll just go along with that because that's what everyone says we should have. Psalm 190 verse 37 says this, turn my eyes away from worthless things, preserve my life according to your word. Here we are back at God's word again. But it says, turn my eyes away from worthless things. I think each of us should probably write a little sign that says, turn my eyes away from worthless things and put it on our televisions and computers. Because that is the input very often into our life. We just believe what the media tells us. We just swallow whatever we is dished on those screens. And it's got to stop. We need to turn our eyes away from that stuff. The third thing is to weigh the consequences. See, as you determine your priorities, a great thing to do to get a good position is to step back and look at the consequences, not just in a telephoto lens where you're looking at a small thing, to step back and get a wide angle lens and get a whole view of what your decision is going to mean in the long run. If you can clearly see and weigh the consequences to your priorities, you will probably not do some of the stupid mistakes that you have done because you will see the consequences. Mostly we don't think about consequences. See, the world is like, it's like Nike. It says, just do it. Just do it. You know, the world says to you, oh, look, it's right in front of you there. Look, just do it. Come on, no one will know. It'll give you pleasure. Let's just do it. Doesn't tell you about the long-term cost of that. Doesn't tell you about what, it's like getting something, you know, look, you can get this. Don't worry about the interest. You can just do it. But we need to weigh we've got to sit back and see the big picture. We need to weigh the consequences. Because remember, Galatians 6 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever one sows, he will also reap. There is consequences to everything you do. And if you step back and look at it, you will get a better perspective. Let me give you some examples that spring to mind. Having an affair, for example, for a guy, you know, decides to have an affair with a woman that's not his wife. Let's talk about it. What does that look like? What are the consequences? If you step back and look at it, see, the reason you have an affair is because she's there and, you know, she's, you know, rolling her eyes at you and you roll them back and, you know, there's this sort of connection and she's just there in the moment and it's going to feel good and you do it. But let's talk about it. On the benefits side, a few pleasurable moments, a small amount of time sampling forbidden fruit. But what is there on the cost side? Way up against that, you lose your wife, you lose your children, you lose your friends, you lose your ministry, you lose half of your fortune, and you lose your self-respect. That's a huge price. If you step back and look at it, you wouldn't do that. It's not worth it. The cost is far too great. Let's look at another one, very current at the moment. Stopping coming to church. Now, at the moment, we're not allowed to come to church, but I want to encourage you, if you're listening to this, when the restrictions ease up, come to church. Don't sit back and say, well, I can do this Facebook thing forever. Sure you can. Oh, well, I like sleeping in Sunday morning. Sunday morning's my time with the family. Well, find another time because it should be the time with the family of God. Don't give up meeting together, the Bible says. Now, at the moment, we have to, by law. But when the restrictions are lifted, I want to challenge you to come to church. Come and join us. Physically be here. We're real. We're flesh and blood. Come and check it out. See, stopping coming to church, the benefits, you get a sleep in. You get coffee in bed of a morning. But what does it cost you? You might get to catch up with a friend or your kids. What does it cost you? You lose spiritual connection with God. You do. Don't say you don't, because when you're alone, we're not built to be alone. We're built to be in fellowship. And when you're away from church, you lose that connection with others. You lose ministry that he has for you. You lose the destiny that he has for you. There are eternal consequences, and all you get is a sleep in. It's a poor bargain. See, if you step back and look at things and weigh the consequences, you see things differently. So I want to challenge you this morning to make the choice to reset your priorities right now, to hit that button. Having done all of the stuff that we've looked at with priorities, there is a simple choice. Let me boil it down right now for you. There is a simple choice. I choose to realign my priorities with God or not. I choose life, God's priorities, or I choose the world. That's your perspective. Deuteronomy 30 verse 19. Moses sets the people out on two hills and he says this, I call heaven and earth as witness against you that I've set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. And in case you can't figure it out, he says this, now choose life that both you and your descendants might live. We talked about eternity. The priorities you set in your life when you choose life will be felt not just by you, but by your children and your children's children all the way for eternity. You can choose now to change your priorities now, and the effect of that will run for eternity through generations of people that you say you love, that you say you care about. But if you get your priorities wrong now, don't tell me you care about them, because you don't. You care about you. This is our moment. God is calling us to account right now in this pandemic. He's saying this is the opportunity you've been waiting for. To reset your priorities. Don't walk away. Some of you say, oh, I don't want to turn, I'm going to turn this junk off Facebook. Don't turn it off. Get your finger away from that button right now. Right? Don't do it. I'm asking you to make a decision. By turning it off or by saying, I'll think about that tomorrow or next week, you're already making a decision. You're choosing the world over God. Just like that. Not making a decision is actually making a decision against God. To delay, to think about it later, is to oppose God, because God is calling us to account now, church. We have the opportunity now to say, yes, I'm going to realign my priorities. So let me ask you, where is your treasure? What's really important to you? Our priorities reveal what we value or what we treasure. Much of what the world prioritizes is really rubbish. At the end of the day, when you die, it is not worth anything in eternity. But we need to concentrate on what and prioritize what is important in life. We really do. So don't tell me Jesus is the most important thing in your life if you spend your whole life ignoring him and pursuing money. That's just lip service. It's worth nothing. Don't tell me you love your family if you have affairs and destroy it. I've counseled with some guys. Look, I really love my wife, but I had to have this affair. Well, don't tell me you love your wife. I'm sorry. It's reflected in the actions that you have. You need to rediscover that love. Don't tell me that God is number one in your life if you never open his word and read it. Oh, I don't read. That's fine. If you get on our Bible app, you can do it audio-wise. If you can't read or don't read, hit the button and it'll be audio. But don't give me the excuse, oh, I really love God, I just haven't got time to read his word. Then you don't really love God. You really love something else more than what you say you love God. See, our actions reflect our priorities. And right now, we have the golden opportunity to change our priorities, to bring them into line with what God has for us for the future and even right into eternity. Matthew 6, verse 19 to 21, Jesus says this, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." You see, your actions reflect your priorities and your priorities reflect your values. If something is truly a treasure to you, you will prioritize it and your actions will reflect that. Now, I'm not saying we all have it together. It's always a struggle. And that's why we've constantly got to realign and reset our priorities. We don't set it once when we're 15 and they never change. They change all the way through life. But we have a golden opportunity now. If we say we treasure someone or something, to prioritize them, I believe that we can concentrate on it and our actions will show that we prioritize them and our priorities will show our values. It is time, ladies and gentlemen, right now, wherever you are listening to this, to reset your priorities. I believe God's calling us to do that right now. Luke 16, 15 says this, "God knows your hearts, for what is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God." And it really is. Stuff that the world thinks is important is just rubbish as far as God is concerned. So what is really important? Let me give you some priorities that most of us would agree on. I think if you're a believer, you'd probably agree with most of this list of priorities. For me, my first priority is God, because God and God's work will take me all the way into eternity. It lasts forever. My second priority is my family. And to my detriment, I don't always show that with the time that I put in. But I need to reprioritize that right now. In my case, the third is the church, because that is a big part of my life and I want to invest my life in this church and in the kingdom of God. Fourth is work. Then there's finances, home, and so on. You can work out your own priorities. But right now is our opportunity to reset our priorities and get them right for the long run, for not just for this life, but right into eternity. And as we reset, we need to ensure that our actions reflect what we say that our priorities are. We need to give more time to what is really important. And it's not, I'm not asking you here to make a mental ascent. Yeah, that's a good idea. I think I can agree with that. I don't want you to agree with me. I want you to reset your priorities. I want you to take action and take responsibility and say, I'm going to change my priorities so they fit in with God. See, to reset our priorities right now, we need to reset our lifestyle. This pandemic is your golden opportunity to reset your lifestyle. You can change your lifestyle according to your priorities. What's most important should get your maximum time. What's least important should get the least time. Otherwise, you're going nowhere. If I ask you, is God important to you? Well, everyone will say yes. You know, we're believers, God is important to us. So, okay, fine, we all agree on that. Then do you schedule time to be with God? Do you read his word? Well, no, Pastor, I'm really busy, so I can't. Do you give God's work at least 10% of your income? Oh, well, no, Pastor, I need all of that for myself. Do you spend time in the Word of God? Do you spend time praying, talking to the Lord, developing a relationship with him? Well, no, Pastor, I'm much too busy to do any of that. You see, we say one thing, but we do the opposite. But what that does is it reflects your priorities. You can say God is your priority, but is it reflected in the things you say and do? Is it reflected in the time you set aside to spend with him? If your family is really important to you, you should think about spending more time with your spouse and with your children. If your health is really important to you, put some time aside to exercise. I've got a t-shirt that says exercise. Oh, I thought you meant extra fries, because, you know, that's how we think a lot of times. But if health is important, find a way to improve it. Exercising and eating right. Is financial security important for you? Everyone will say yes. Are you a materialistic person? Oh, no, I'm not materialistic at all. Well, really? If your debt load is getting deeper and deeper and your income can't sustain it, then that is not financial security. You're not prioritizing security. If you're buying things you can't afford, you're not prioritizing financial security. Do you have a credit card that with charges you can't pay? Are you saving any money at all? Oh, no, I spend all the money that comes in. Then you're not. Financial security is not a priority for you. Because if it was, your actions would reflect that. You see, we all want a changed outcome, but what we don't want is to change our lifestyle to get a changed outcome. But this is our moment in all of the stuff, the complete craziness of the COVID-19 pandemic, this is our moment to say, you know what? I need to reset stuff here. I need to reset my priorities. I need to reset the way I'm thinking and my lifestyle. So as we finish, I'm going to ask you just about your lifestyle. Here's three areas that you're going to have to work on if you're going to reset your lifestyle. The first is your schedule. Schedule for our American friends. Is your schedule consistent with what you say is important? Do you prioritize time for things that you say are important? Or are you spending time on things that you say aren't important? We would say, well, TV is not important, but we spend hours watching that thing. Oh, the Word of God's really important, but we spend no time reading it. You're going to have to reevaluate your schedule and change the amount of time you allot to things to put the important things first. Secondly, working on your budget. Am I spending most of the money on things, most money on things that are really important, or am I spending most money on things that I think are not really important? Things that only last a brief period of time. Are you tithing? Are you still giving? You should still be giving. You should have a giving spirit. Doesn't matter what's going on out there. We should be generous and kind. We should be giving of one another. And when you give money to the church or to a mission or whatever it is that you give to, you're not losing money. You're investing it for eternity. We need to see things God's way. But we blow so much money on stuff that isn't going to matter a week, a month down the track. We need to reprioritize. The third thing is to work on your responsibilities. Am I spending my time and effort with the responsibilities of my life, or am I spending all my time being involved in things that aren't that important? You need to man up or woman up, depending on what gender you are, and prioritize the things that are important. Because if you're talking about responsibility, take responsibility for this. Don't just say, oh, he's talking to the guy, you know, on the next internet connection down the street watching it on Facebook. No, he's not. He's talking to you. And I'm saying if it's important, prioritize it. And don't try and kid yourself by saying God is important when you never prioritize him. I tell you, in my life, I say God is important and I try and prioritize him. I spend time every day with him. Why? Because it's important and it builds into my life for eternity. Ephesians 4, verse 17 says this. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them due to their hardness of heart. They become calloused and have given themselves up to sensuality, greed, to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learn Christ. You see, the more you do all of this stuff and conform to the pattern of this world, you get calloused. And you don't even notice it. You just live life the way everyone tells you you should live life. You just go after your own selfish pleasures. And you're callous. Callous means you're hard on the outside and you don't feel it. I play guitar and the tip of my fingers is callous. You can hit that with a needle. I don't even feel it. It's like rubber on the end of my fingers because of all the guitar strings. It's called callous. Callousness. And your heart can become callous because you're just so used to doing it. And that's where this is so important. This is our moment to break through the callousness and to say, no, I'm going to reset my priorities and get them God's way, not mine. This is your opportunity to reset them. We have to stop living like the rest of the world, whose thinking is futile. Their values and priorities are misplaced, and we need to understand what is important and change our lifestyle to reflect what we say is important. So let me ask you, as we wrap it up now, what is your number one priority in life? What is your number one priority? What is your number two? What is your number three priority in life? I want you to pray with me, and we are going to reset our priorities together. My final verse is from the book of Matthew, and I love this verse because it pretty much sums it up. Jesus talks about, you know, eating and drinking, getting food, getting shelter, all the things we worry about. He says the Gentiles go out there, they worry about this stuff all the time. But this is what he says about us. Matthew 6:33. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things are given to you as well. All those things you strive for, you don't have to strive any longer. If you strive for Christ, if you strive for God, those things come to you. You don't have to worry about them. Get into God and trust him for the rest. And he will have everything under control. You can trust him as your Father. He loves you. But I believe it's important for us as the people of God to put him first, number one. So I'm going to pray as we wrap this up. Don't forget, we've got our virtual fellowship coming up. In just a few moments at the end, all the details will be up there. Come and join us in our Zoom meeting. Whether you attend Ignite or not, we don't care. Just come and fellowship with us. But as we wrap it up, I'm going to say a prayer for you, and I want you to concentrate on your own life. Just take a few moments to seek the Lord right now. Wherever you are, whether you're at the breakfast table, whether you're still in bed, whether you're on the lounge, whether you're traveling in a car, take a few moments right now to examine your life. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us in these few moments. Father, I pray that you would speak into our lives and allow us to reset our priorities right this moment, to reset what is important, what is true, to reset what we are going to invest our time and our money and our responsibility into. Now, let me ask you, as you are in an attitude of prayer now, it's a little bit different this morning, but I want to ask you this. What is your number one priority in life? I'm hoping you're going to say God. But if it's not, this is your moment to reset. Just take a few moments, just in the quietness of your heart, and reset that priority right now. Just take a few moments to do that. And what's your number two priority? For me, it's my family. I don't always reflect that, but it truly is. And this is my moment to reset my priorities for my family. And what's your number three? Church, work, what is it? I guarantee you that your priorities are not what they should be. I know mine are not. And so I want you to join me in a prayer right now as we reset our priorities. We make God number one, then family, then church or work or whatever comes after that. But let's get our priorities straight. Let's get them right. And let's make sure our actions reflect our priorities. So I want you to say this prayer with me, and together we will do it. Say this with me. Dear Lord, I'm sorry that I have not prioritized correctly. But right now, I repent of my sin, and I ask you to help me to see correctly. Let me see with your eyes, Lord. I ask you to help me reset my priorities, that I would truly place you as number one, place my family number two, and Lord, help me to live a life that reflects my priorities and values. And let my priorities and values be your priorities and values for my life. Lord, I know that you've heard those prayers. Right now, Father, I pray that we would take this opportunity to reset our priorities and values, to put them in the right perspective, to put you number one, our family number two, church and work and all those other things down from there. But Lord, right now I pray that as a church that we will prioritize, even in this difficult time meeting together, that we will prioritize reading your word, that we will prioritize giving you praise and honor and glory and worshiping you no matter where we are, no matter what's going on, Lord, that our focus would be you, because that is what carries with it eternal consequences. Oh, Lord, we just open our hearts to you and pray, Father, that you would help us to continually reset until your values become our values, your priorities become our priorities. And I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, God bless you. Thank you for joining us this morning.